Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been having a wonderful time because 2 months ago we did the book of Ephesians backward. And what we were wanting to see is where we are in time. What's this all about? You know, what can we expect next week and the next week and, you know, the next year and so forth as we're moving along? And of course, we look all the way to the end and we see what God is up to. The main thing that he's doing is he's coming to us. Okay? After 1485, I believe it was, that was when they came up with the idea that the church was going to be raptured out. And so now people just kind of sit around and wait, okay, I guess one of these days he's going to come and get us. But the beautiful thing is, as of now, we're not going there. He's coming here. He's coming to live among us. He's coming to reproduce himself in us, to change us into his image until, and I love these untils. You know, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I love the untils. And nothing is going to change until the until is done. Yes. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what he's doing. And as he does that, the one aspect that we're seeing is he is producing love in us. We can't intuit love. You can't just say, no, I'm going to do better. I'm going to love. I'm really going to work at this. I'm going to love. It doesn't matter how hard you try, it won't work. But if we receive the love of God, we receive his love, and then we have to give it away. You can't just take it in. You have to take it in and give it away. Take it in and give it away. The Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because it doesn't dump. It doesn't have an outlet. See? But we do need to be receiving the love of God. And so it talks about experiencing for yourself. That was Mark's song. Experience for yourselves the love of God. And, of course, in Ephesians 3, it tells us what will happen. It says that we, as we receive the love of God, that we're going to be changed into the image of God. We're going to receive, it says, the richest measure of his divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God. Amen. Isn't that going to be fun? Amen. Hallelujah. To be experiencing the love of God until we are filled up with divine presence. Amen. Until. So we're still in this time of receiving. If God just yanked everybody out of here now, he'd have a mess in heaven, wouldn't he? That's not what he's up to. Now, we see, for instance, in Romans 8, and all of you know Romans 8:28, it's like all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And I realize that gets misused all the time. You know, somebody's baby dies, and God's just working all things together for good, you know, and you just have to accept that. Well, that's not right. But God is up to something. And everything that is happening, God turns it to good. But that's verse 28. But when you look at verse 29, it tells us why he's doing it. It says that we might be transformed into his image. See? people, they want to pick a verse, but they don't want what goes with it. See, what goes with that is that all, everything that's going is going to eventually work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That's because in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, God is faithful. He will never allow you to be tested above what you're able, but with every test, he'll make a way of escape. And so he's making, it doesn't matter how much bad might come your way, God is bigger than the bad. And so he is going to work. Satan, and I love this, you know, John 10:10. Jesus explaining all this to us, and he said, now, I want you to know the thief is going to come to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now, I mean, he's telling us this. This is God telling us. I want to tell you something. The thief is going to be coming. He's going to steal, he's going to kill, and he's going to destroy. See, God isn't upset about all of that. God isn't afraid of evil. God isn't afraid of bad things. Why? Because Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
So if we're never going to be tested above what we're able, but with every test he's going to make a way of escape, that means he's giving us more of himself to be victorious. See, I love it there in John. Here again, Jesus is nonchalantly, you know, teaching us. Now, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
All of a sudden, all anxiety is gone. Who can be anxious when you have a God who's totally overcome everything? That's our God. That's our God. He's already overcome everything. He's defeated Satan in every area that he wants to try. You know, have at it. You know, sometimes I even congratulate him. You know, well, Satan, you really tried one there. Too bad you lost. You know, he's not a good loser. You know, he gets pretty upset at times. And but if God is for us, friends, who can be against us? If God is for us. And so we just go about doing what we do. And I appreciate everyone coming out in the ice today.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a testimony. Last month, I was scheduled to go to Marshall, Missouri, the northern Missouri. And the prediction was terrible. The temperature was going to drop 40 degrees in an hour. We had freezing rain, sleet, and snow coming right at us. And so I talked to the Lord, and I said, you know, do I go? He said, yes, go. I said, okay, do I take the four-wheel drive pickup, or do I drive my car? And he said, you won't need the pickup. Didn't make sense to me, but I cast down reasoning. Bible said, don't let reasoning, you know. So I take off in the car. I get up to Buffalo, Missouri on Highway 65. And here comes the storm at me. And it's just black everywhere. You know. And I said, okay. And so I'm heading on through. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, raise your arm and clear the clouds. And so I just, of course, I was hanging on the steering wheel. and I went like this. I said, in the name of Jesus. And those clouds parted. And a beautiful sunshine came. I drove all the way up in beautiful sunshine.
Amen.
Of course, it's not just for me. Because God loves everybody in front of me and everybody behind me. And so we're all coming through in beautiful sunshine. We went up, had the meeting, and they called me as I was going up. and said, don't come. They've canceled all the schools. They've canceled. They're sending, you know, everyone home. All the business, everybody's sending people home. No one will be there. So you might as well not come. Well, I was already on my way, driving in beautiful sunshine. And I get up there, and we have the biggest crowd that we have ever had. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We serve a living God. Isn't that fun?
Amen.
We serve a living God.
Yes.
So, I guess you can tell I really have fun with all this. So, in the Ephesians, then, we were going backward. And as we worked our way back, we talked about what will the church look like in the end? And Jesus gave us, he said, now in the end time, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. And he gives us a whole bunch of things. But there's this beautiful end to it. He says, but the time is not yet. So we're not to be excited about all of that stuff. There's something else beyond that. And he tells us what it is. He said that the church will be perfected without spot or blemish or any such thing. That there'll be a unity of the Spirit. People will love one another. And we're watching that happen. Even denominations just disappearing. Who cares? Whether you're a Baptist or Methodist, you know. People have wars over things like that. And, you know, now no one cares. It's just, are you a believer? Then we need to love one another. Are you lost? Then I need to love you. Are you my enemy? Yeah. I need to love you.
Yeah.
If you were in my office every morning, you would think I'm crazy, but I really do enjoy myself. God has called me to be an intercessor, and because I'm an intercessor, I don't pray prayers. I listen to God, whatever He tells me, that's what I speak on the earth. And I can actually sense and feel it going around the earth. I can also turn on the news and see that it's happening. So this is reality that we're dealing with. And so I do all kind of animation. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for instance. And when I do, I cover them over. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, who's the head of, the president of Israel, I don't know what they call it. But I put my arms around him and I love him in the name of Jesus. I love you, Benjamin. Yeah. And may the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, fill you up. And by the way, the Israelis are coming to find their Messiah in a tremendous amount. Hallelujah. So, what a joyful time. Anyway, but I also pray for my enemies, our enemies, Kim Jong-un. Yeah. But what I do with him, I put my arms around him and I pray for him. Kim, I love to see you preaching the gospel. I want to see you on TV preaching the gospel. See, you're born again, filled with the Spirit, delivered from demons, and saying, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You think that could happen? Of course it can. What about Saul of Tarsus? You know, he was probably worse than Kim Jong-un. But God got a hold of him. And so, pray. Anyway, God had me doing some. In 1 John 3:8, it says, this is the reason the Son of God was made manifest. Mm-hmm. To undo, dissolve, loosen and destroy
Amen.
All the work the devil has
Thank
done.
You, Lord. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. And so I was speaking that, only I was speaking it by the Spirit, and the Lord was on me. If you'll think back, those of you that have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, remember the first time and just the Lord just took over and your tongue just went, took off of going. It was like that. Only God says, it's time to destroy evil. Okay, I kind of had my hands up like this, and all of a sudden, and I didn't do it. My hands just started going like this. Destroy, 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 destroy. And all, you could just see things just coming down. Hallelujah. God is going to destroy all the work the devil has done.
Amen.
And how's he going to do it? Through the church, through the believers.
Amen.
He's going to fill us with his Spirit. And in doing so, he's going to destroy all the work the devil has done.
Amen.
The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until.
Yes.
And we're in the middle of the until.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we're bringing everything down that Satan has planted on the earth to try to defeat us. And he's not going to win. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So it doesn't matter what he tries. And in the end, of course, he's going to get put away. But we're still going to be victorious forever and ever. And ever and ever. So we're working our way back then, and we come to this whole thing of being rooted and grounded in love. And so that's what we were doing last month, talking about being rooted and grounded in love. If we're going to conquer by love, what's that look like? Well, we took grace. Grace, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So we're seeing this wonderful defeat of sin by the grace of God. And then we also looked at mercy. There's a difference between grace and mercy. Grace is what you get even though you don't deserve it. Mercy is what you don't get even though you do deserve it. So there's that difference. So the grace of God is God working in your behalf, loving you, and then it's not just about us, though. And then now he's given us that grace so that we can be gracious to other people. Give grace away to others. Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now we talked about compassion. Compassion is seeing the need of another or others with the desire to help. And Jesus, every miracle he did, it said, and he had compassion. And he had compassion. As we're moving along then, not only are we seeing compassion and actually being pulled or led or directed by compassion, but we also began to see the necessity to edify one another. The word edify means to build one another up. So my job is to build you up. Your job's to build me up. Jesse and I, we've learned to edify one another. And if I lift her up, and she lifts me up, and I lift her up, and she lifts me up, and I lift her up, I think there's only one direction we're going to go.
Right.
And that's up.
Yeah.
If I run her down and she runs me down, there's only one direction we're going to go, and that's down. So God has called us to edify one another. And he gives us his Spirit to be able to do that.
Yes.
And rather than always looking for what's wrong, we need to look to see, what can I do? I remember years ago, And there's all kind of false stuff, you know, that gets in churches, and they think they're really smart. It was a preacher's meeting, and this one preacher gets up, and he's going to talk about the church, how the institution of the church is. And so he draws this, you could say, a pyramid, triangle. And he said, now, down here at the bottom of this triangle, this is all the new converts. But as you mature in Christ, there'll be fewer of you because now you're coming up like this. And so that you go higher and higher, and you grow and you learn and you practice and you just get better and better and better. And pretty soon, you're at the pinnacle of the triangle or the pyramid. And I was sitting back there and I was about to scream because it was like, I've seen preachers like that. That's called King on the Mountain, and you'll climb on anyone, anywhere to try to get on top. But there is a beautiful triangle called the church. And this is the new converts. And what do we do with these new converts? We get underneath them.
Yeah,
and we lift them up. But what happens when you lift them up? You go down. And you've got two on top of you, and now four. And you just keep pushing. And can I help you? Can I help you? Now, what can I do to help you be all that God wants you to be? You know, and we keep going, and then after a while, what's that? That must be, that's apostles and prophets. And then we keep going down, and what's that? That's the chief cornerstone. That's Jesus. He's holding the whole thing up all by himself. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. So our job is to edify, to build up, to strengthen one another. And God loves this, see. This is what God's all about. And his glory then covers the earth as he develops all this in us. It's not up to us to do. It's up to us to receive. And then let him do through us. See? Just like with my intercession, I don't say anything when I'm in his presence. I just listen to what he says, and then I repeat it on the earth. I learned that from that guy back east. What was his name? Jesus. Yeah. He said, I speak what I hear my Father speak. I do what I see my Father do. And it works. Hallelujah, it works. See? And so we are to edify. We're to build one another up. How do we kind of tie all this together? How do we get more of this love? We know we need it. You know, and so how do we go about receiving it? And of course, I can ask you the same word or same question. How do we get more faith? See, and of course, it's all together. Because it comes together. Faith works by love. Faith is energized by love. So how do we get there? Building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, keeping yourself in the love of God. And then, see, a lot of people quote the one without the other, but they come together. And we're building ourselves up. We're being edified. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And you can't edify others if you're not edified. See? So the more you're edified, the stronger you are to lift other people up. And as you're lifting other people up, there's this greater faith and this greater love that we're demonstrating. And the more you use what God gives you, the stronger you become. You can't just sit around in your living room and say, "Oh, I'd sure like to have more of the love of God. I need more faith. I know I need more faith. Yeah, I need more faith." No. It won't help you. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God is speaking. God's broadcasting every day. Everyone can tune in and hear God. Tune in, listen to what He's saying, and then just simply obey Him. See, ours is to delight in the Lord. Do what He enjoys doing. See, it's not trying to get Him to do what I want Him to do, but for me to do what He wants for me to do. Okay, I'm getting another thing here. I want to pass this along. You'll think it doesn't fit, but it's got to fit because God just told me to do it. Remember when John the Baptist baptized Jesus? Okay. So, and of course, Jesus went to John the Baptist and said, "You need to baptize me." And John the Baptist said, "No, I need to be baptized of you," because he already knew that, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world." See, so John the Baptist knew. So they go down in the water, and he baptized, brings him out, and then what happens? The Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We call that affirmation. Jesus already knew from the time he was a child, and we know at 12 years of age, "I must be about my Father's business." Why the affirmation now? Well, because of the next event. Mark and I was talking, Judy was there, the three of us, we were talking about living in the now moment. Not in the past, not in the future, live now. And so this was the now moment for Jesus. And so the Father, He's, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." See, has this affirmation of who He is. And then, oh, we all love this. And it says, "And He was led of the Spirit." We all like to be led of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, come on, tell me. I love to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. Hallelujah! But you see, this was so important to God because Adam failed in spirit, soul, and body when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He saw that it was good for food, beautiful to look at, and if you eat it, you will be as God. So he failed. Adam failed all three tests in spirit, soul, and body. So here comes Jesus. Now Jesus has to pass all of those tests. See, now he's been led by the Spirit. See, and so they say, Satan said, "Now, if you're the Son of God," we'll get back to the "if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And Jesus comes back. Now, understand, and these two, Jesus and Satan, they know each other. And Jesus has never, ever, ever been afraid of Satan. Doesn't rattle his cage ever. Now, fact is, how upset would God have been if Satan hadn't showed up that day? And the test didn't come. For sure it would affect us, because it says of Jesus, he was tested in all points such as we are, yet without sin. So he was actually gaining victory for us. Be of good cheer, I've overcome. See, Well, how do you overcome? It is written. It is written. And it is written. Even though he would say, word that became flesh, he didn't even rely on that. But it is written. So what was the test? The test was if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, and if you're the Son of God, it is written, it is written, it is written.
Right.
Okay, now go back to the affirmation. Why was the affirmation so important at that moment? Because that's what was going to be tested. If. Now, it's exactly the same way in my life. It'll be exactly the same way. God will never, ever allow you to be tested above what you're able. In other words, he'll give you the affirmation. He'll give you the scripture. He'll give you the faith. He'll give you the love. He'll give you everything you need to pass the test.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Hey, I like to win.
Amen.
I like to take on Satan. I never lost yet. I've taken on demons, everything Satan can throw at me. I've never lost yet. It's fun.
Amen.
When you serve a living God. Yeah. Jesus, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So don't be concerned about evil or things. Just turn it over to the Lord. Just turn it over and watch him work in your behalf. Now, people say, when they found out about me parting the clouds, they said, well, I wish I could part clouds like that. Oh, that'd be neat. I said, are you willing to drive into the storm? Oh, no, I would have taken the truck. I wouldn't even have asked. Well, hey, if you want to see miracles, you have to be where the trouble is. And you have to be obedient. What if I hadn't have been there and all those people would have showed up to be ministered to? See? God made sure I was going to be there. They loved a whole bunch of other people. I don't know who all was on Highway 65 with me, but we all sure enjoyed the sunshine. Hallelujah. You getting it?
Amen.
Okay. Edify one another, build one another, strengthen one another.